suffering from the loss of original holiness. Man must be reacquainted with God, and this occurs through Abraham, and in particular reacquainted with faith. And therefore, Abraham's faith, translated down to Moses and the Hebrew people, even though they are on the run, they choose, at least in Moses' faith. And because of that faith through water, they are saved from Pharaoh and his armies. And so we see how that prefigures the great gift of baptism, which saves us from sin and death and allows us to know freedom from slavery to our passions and sin. Then the church brings us in our mindset to the reality of the prophets, indicating the great mysteries of the world and how all of that veil, will be turned away by the Christ, symbolized significantly by virtue of the veil torn down the middle at our Lord's death for the temple itself. No separation from God and man now. And we see in the recounting from the Gospel of Luke this reality of coming to terms with the resurrection, which would be quite difficult, especially with those who had seen our Lord's horrible death. And the Lord assists them. Our God assists us always by virtue of the work of the two angels to explain to the women who were totally confused. And so it brings us to the here and now. Why should we really care? Why should this be even relevant to us? Well, those who live in the world who are worldlings are always so preoccupied and concerned with the things of the world that the resurrection means very little to them, because typically when you are that way, you are trapped in the bondage of sin. And the enemy is very good about fostering blindness and confusion and doubt. He did it at the very beginning with Eve, convincing her to doubt the goodness of God and the truth of God. And so for us then, if people were to ask you, why should you care, why should you be interested in the resurrection, especially in today's world where material is far more important than spiritual, the whole world acknowledged before modern times that Christ did indeed die and was an historical individual. But now people try to deny he even existed despite the historical record. But that's what's important for us. We must be like Abraham, who had so much faith that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Isaac, who is not a small boy when this happens, has so much love and respect for his father and his own knowledge of God that he is most willing to participate, because he's no idiot. He would know exactly what was going on. He prefigures Christ in that way, who submitted to the will of his father and offered himself in atonement for our sins, the perfect sacrifice, which made it possible for us to be in right relationship with God. Therefore, the answer to the question for us, if people ask, or if we find ourselves even doubting a bit because of what we see in the world around us, all of the darkness, all of the sin flaunted, slavery to sin portrayed as though it is a reasonable thing, we must remind ourselves that it is Christ who gives us freedom from sin. It is Christ who broke the chains of sin. It is Christ who succumbed to the horror of sin in his crucifixion and then raises himself in glory, proving what he said was true, proving to us that our faith is not misplaced. And thereby we understand then that our sharing in the sacramental life of the church is sharing in the victory of Christ. Our three catechumens will enter into the tomb of Christ tonight, being saved by the waters of baptism. And then they will indeed be confirmed in the faith, not some mere initiation or some mere, I'm an adult now, I can make decisions. No, confirmation makes you a soldier for Christ, gives you the ability, increases in particular the theological virtue of charity. Because if there is no love, there is no courage, which is why we live in a world filled with cowardliness. Indeed, they will enter into the great mystery of the Blessed Sacrament itself and receive the gift of Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, as we'll also have one of our already Catholic children receiving her first communion tonight. She will have her first participation in the true, authentic love of God, caritas, not this human love that is used to justify innumerable sins, but real, authentic love, which means seeking what is best for the other, seeking the greatest good, which is God Himself. And what God affords us in divine revelation, in the reality of the divine life of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that we share in at every single Mass. So for us then, we see three coming into the church who are convicted in the reality of the gift of faith that God has given them, coming from varied places and varied understandings, but all drawn together by Christ Jesus and all drawn into new life in Him. And tonight, you yourselves will renew your own baptismal vows, which gives you the opportunity to fully recommit yourselves to Christ, which means, in particular, not falling for the delusions and the illusions of the enemy, where you make the world and the things of your body more important than that which is necessary for the salvation of your soul. Where you commit yourself to become a partaker in grace that allows your reason to override your passions. That allows your reason to know that God is indeed being itself. And as I'm often saying to you, God is more real than the pew you're sitting on. You just think He is not, because He's being self. All of us then, after they're baptized, all of us here present share in the divine life of the Holy Trinity by virtue of the sacraments, by virtue of the holy sacrifice of Mass in particular. So let's not be bewildered by the darkness and evil of the world, or even bewildered by our own failings. That is why the sacrament of penance is there, which restores our baptismal graces. Let us instead be confident and faithful and true to Christ, and let us increase in our knowledge of Him, because the more knowledge we have of Him, the more we will love Him, and then the more we love Him, the more courageous we will become in a world that so desperately needs the example of courage, true courage, like that of the true and perfect hero, Jesus Christ Himself, who stepped into the breach and saved us from sin and death. Our Lord is worth living for, and our Lord is worth dying for. As you come and receive communion, especially those of you for the first time, as I explained to you earlier today, you come to the altar rail, which is a symbol of death. It's the people's altar. It is where you sacrifice yourself to Christ, and He gives you Himself in return. When you get up from that altar rail, remember the words of St. Paul, "I no longer live for myself, but for Him." You no longer live for yourself, but for Christ, in accord, of course, with your state in life. So be deliberate in your reception today, as you are new to it, and those who are perhaps too accustomed for taking it for granted, be deliberate and intentional. Because again, as I always warn you, you should treat every Mass as though it is your first and though it is your last. You must treat every communion as though it is your first and as though it is your last, because you never know when that may occur. That'll make you more intentional, more deliberate, and more eager to participate in the life of grace, and be inspired by those who are coming into the life of grace tonight. Be inspired to know that you too can have the same zeal and desire to go through what is necessary to leave the world behind and live for Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.